The following story has been brought to you by StoriesToInspire.org.
The story begins with a fellow who was driving from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak one evening. And as he's leaving Yerushalayim, he sees a fellow standing at the side of the road, hitching, and he's got his finger out like this, like they do in Israel. Seems like a pretty impressive, chashev-looking fellow. He's wearing a long frock. He's got a nice hat. He's got a decent-sized beard. It's all chassanis, but he pulls over and he says to the fellow, you know, where do you need to go? He goes, I need to go to Bnei Brak. He goes, wonderful, I'm going to Bnei Brak Hoppin. They start driving, and a few minutes into the trip, so the passenger turns to the kind driver, and he says to him, you know, you're doing me a chesed. I want to show you hakar satayv. I want to show you gratitude. I want to share with you a little bit about myself. I think it'll hopefully give you inspiration. And he begins to share the most incredible story. He says, I'm the Rosh Kail of a pretty substantial Kail in Bnei Brak. The people in my Kail are already established Talmidei Chachamim with large families, and I try my hardest to provide for them financially, but each and every one of us, myself included, are learning with great Mesiras Nefesh. One day, he says, my phone rings. I pick up my phone. It's Reb Hananya Chalak, the incredible Askin. Everyone knows about him in Eretz Yisrael. And he says to me, I'm calling you at the behest of Reb Aaron Leib Steinman. I'm like, oh, Reb Aaron Leib, what can I do? So I want to tell you something interesting. He says, about a week or two ago, I got a phone call from Israeli TV. It seems like they had just concluded a pretty substantial poll, study, survey to correlate families, low-income families living in very small quarters, and their children's elevated involvement in crime, in negative behavior. And the conclusion was that children that grow up living in very small apartments in less than desirable conditions are much more likely to live lives of crime, to get involved with negative behaviors, than children who grow up in regular homes. And we were going to release those studies when all of a sudden we realized that there's a monkey wrench in those studies. Because the city of Bnei Brak probably has larger families living in more confined quarters than anywhere in Tel Aviv, and yet the crime rate in Bnei Brak is from the lowest in the entire country, and probably from the lowest in the entire world. So that doesn't really work well with our study. We were hoping, they said to me, says Reb Hananya Chalak to this Rosh Kailo, that you could find us a family who lives in a really small dira, really small apartment, with a lot of children and many people, that their children are upstanding citizens, that they're following in their ways, that there's a certain quality of life. We would love to interview them. Reb Hananya said initially when TV called me, I said, no one's going to want to do this. We're not on TV. It's not how Bnei Brak works. But then Reb Hananya said, how do I have a right to be the spokesman for religious Jewry, for Torah Judaism? I can't make that decision. Let me ask the Gadol HaDor. Let me ask Reb Aaron Leib. So he goes to Reb Aaron Leib. Reb Aaron Leib says, no, of course you should do it. It's an opportunity to make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem and show that Gashmius, material surroundings, aren't what drive our true happiness and fulfillment, and to give them a real window into the success of Bnei Brak and the entire world. You got to find somebody. Says Hananya Chalak to this Rosh Kailo, I want you to know something, that I did a lot of investigations. I asked around a lot about a mishpacha which has a lot of children in a really small apartment, and yet everyone feels that they're a great representative of the Torah community, and your name just kept coming up over and over. This Rosh Kail turns to the driver, and he says, Hananya didn't know this, but I live in a two-bedroom apartment. It means we have one bedroom besides my wife's bedroom, and we have 13 children, Kenai Nahara, and we really do live a functional and very successful, happy life. So he wanted me to get on Israeli TV and explain to them a little bit more about our life. I said to Reb Hananya when he asked me this, I have to talk to my wife, maybe to Reb Aaron Leib. At the end, him and his wife agreed, with Reb Aaron Leib's, you know, sign off on it, that they would do this Israeli TV interview, but there were two conditions. Number one, the camera crew could not come down to the house when any of the children were there. They didn't want the children to know about this. The children didn't even know what TV is, probably. And number two, that they would not be filmed with any video. They would speak, they could take videos of the apartment, the kitchen, the many trundle beds, the hooks with all the towels, the pantry that somehow is standing and has enough basic foods and staples to give so much food for 15 people every single meal. We would not be on any of those. We did not want our faces broadcast to the broader community. And sure enough, they came down and they videoed our apartment, and they could not believe that 13 people lived there. We pulled out all the trundles and we showed them how we lived. And we show them how we do meals and Shabbos and how we put stuff away into the corners, and we collapse this and we collapse that. And they interviewed us and asked us many questions, and they were blown away, absolutely blown away by our happiness, our simple but true, genuine meaningful lives that we live, and we talked about our children and the community that we're part of, and it was a tremendous kiddushinship. And then they left, and life kind of continued. I will say, he says to this driver, that they did not necessarily respect my wishes. They had a hidden camera, which we didn't know about, and they did end up showing video of me and my wife, but, you know, we just let it slide, and we didn't think we were going to make a big deal about it. And listen, that was part of what was bashert. We were okay with it. Okay. That's part one of the story, says this Rosh Kailo to his kind driver who's driving him to Bnei Brak. So I want to share with you something else. Part two. He says, during that period of time, I one day met Rabbi Sachar Meir, the Shiva of Yeshivat HaNegev in Nitivot. And I went over to Rabbi Sachar Meir, and I said to him, Rabbi Sachar Meir, I want you to know something. I have a tremendous debt of gratitude. Very serious hakaras hatov to you personally. Rabbi Sachar Meir looks at me, and he kind of looks familiar. He says, I'm not sure who you are. You never learned on a yeshiva, never in our kailo, that I know. So what's our kesher? And listen to what this Rosh Kailo says to Rabbi Sachar Meir. He says, Rosh Yeshiva, I want you to know something. That I grew up in Bnei Brak, and I had a close friend, a bachur who was my age, and we were very good friends. And then when it came time for high school, for Masifta, we went to different places, and I continued on the upward path, and Baruch Hashem, learning and really accomplishing, and he struggled a lot. Eventually ended up in Yeshivat HaNegev, and even in Yeshivat HaNegev, he struggled tremendously. He always needed chizuk. And I said to myself, listen, I'm sitting and learning Yomim Balayla, and I don't have that many opportunities to do chesed. I want to do something special. And I made up that every Friday, I would take a bus all the way from Bnei Brak to Netivot. It's not a short ride. And then I would learn with this fellow. I would give him chizuk, and I would come to him once a week and be mechazik him, ask him how his week was, pump him up before Shabbos, learn with him gishmak so that he should feel good about himself. Says this Rosh Kailo to his driver, I did this for years. Every Friday, I would take a bus all the way from Bnei Brak to Netivot. We would learn an hour or two, and I would take the last bus from Netivot back to Bnei Brak. He says, we both got a little bit older. I got involved in Shidduchim, and I became a chas, and I got engaged. And then life became very hectic during the period of time between my engagement and my wedding. There were so many moving pieces. And one week I just said, I can't go to Netivot. There's too much going on. I just had such a crazy week. I need a normal Shabbos. I need a normal Friday. But Friday morning when I woke up, I said to myself, I've done this for so many years. It's kind of become part of this fellow's chizuk, routinely, weekly chizuk. As long as I could still do it till I'm married, it's not right to not do it. And I was mechazik myself, strengthened myself. I davened shachris, I got onto a bus, I went all the way to Netivot. We sat down, we learned, and he was so grateful that I came. He had had a difficult and a challenging week. Maybe he was also in Shidduchim. We talked things through, and I also took him off. I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss the last bus. I have to go right now. And I went running, dashing out of the Yeshivat HaNegev. And as I dashed out of Yeshivat HaNegev, I saw the bus all the way down the block pulling away. I had missed the last bus to Bnei Brak. I was stuck in Netivot. And the yeshiva people in Netivot and Yeshivat HaNegev were amazingly kind. They got me a room from a bachur that wasn't there, and they arranged the meals for me, and everyone was so accommodating. A guy lent me a tie, but I did have my weekday clothing. I didn't have anything else. And I spent that Shabbos in Netivot. Says this Rosh Kailo to Rabbi Yisachar Meir, and he's sharing the story with the driver, I want you to know something. That Shabbos, you spoke. And what you said totally transformed my life, and it's the reason that I am able to live right now in a one-bedroom apartment for my children and one for myself and my wife, and we still have tremendous simchas achaim. Rabbi Yisachar Meir said, what I say? He said, you got up and you said to the bachrim that there's something extremely strange. In Nusach Ashkenazim, we say on Yom Kippur in davening, during the Avodah, Yiratzen, Rabban Shalom may be, you will, about the Anshei Hasharon, the people who live in Sharon, Shalayu Bateim Kivrim, that their homes should not be their graves. It seemed like they lived in soil where there were often landslides and collapses. And that was the tefillah that the Kohen Gadol would say in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur for the people of the Sharon. And Rabbi Yisachar Meir turned to the Baruch, and he said, Baruch, I want to share with you, perhaps, an alternative understanding to the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. And you shared with us, this Baruch says to Rabbi Yisachar Meir, that in life, we all have priorities. We all have different things in life that we want. The things that are in the highest level of priority, we usually end up accomplishing and getting, because we invest all our efforts into them. And you turned to the Baruch, and I was sitting there also, and I heard this, and you said, you know, there's certain people that all of a sudden they get an apartment, and the apartment becomes a priority. They have to make sure it's nice, and they have to put a new chandelier, and then they have to paint, and it all starts with the doormat, and they need a nicer apartment. And if they live in a nicer apartment, they have to have a nicer car. And if they live in that neighborhood, they can't just be there during the summer because everyone goes to a vacation village. They buy a house there, and their whole life priority is to live a life with their homes, their cars, their clothing. That is their priority. And everything else, they're learning, they're davening, their Yiddishkeit, everything fits into that priority because it's always at the top of their list. The Kohen Gadol would daven. It's Yom Kippur. When we reprioritize, when we look at life straight, front, and central, and we try to understand what our value system is, Yehi Ratzon, said the Kohen Gadol, Shelo Yasu Batehem Kivrehem, that their homes shouldn't be their graves. Which means to say that the home, the focus on the material, on this world, on amassing Ashmius, materialism, that shouldn't be our grave. We shouldn't go to the grave with that as our accomplishment. It shouldn't bring us down. Our homes should be opportunities to bring us up. Rabbi Selcher, I want you to know something, that my whole way back and the rest of that Shabbos from Netivot to Bnei Brak, I kept thinking about what's my priority and what am I going to invest my life in, always making sure that that's front and central. And I decided that it was a life of meaning and purpose manifested through Limud HaTorah. And when I got back, I talked to my Kala about it. I shared with her this Vart, and we both were on the same page. Rosh Hashivi says, I have 13 children, Kananar. We have 15 people in our family. We live in a two-bedroom apartment. Our home is full of simcha. Our home is not our kever. Our home is our ticket to Gan Eden. Rosh Hashiva, you changed my life by saying that shmuz. Yashar koyach gadol. And this Mishkailo is sitting in the car, finished saying this, and this driver's like, wow, that's incredible. It's a beautiful understanding. It's amazing that to see at the Shemaya, that Shabbos, you kind of missed the bus so you could hear this, so it could change your whole life, and then you could be on TV one day to make a Kiddush Hashem. The Mishkailo smiles and he says, that's only part two. I'm going to share with you part three. Now listen to this. It's absolutely mind-boggling. The episode of this family aired on Israeli TV. And many people saw it. Perhaps millions of people saw it. It was on one of the main TV channels. There was one person who saw it that was very moved. And again, remember, there was a hidden camera, so he sees the faces of the Rosh Kailo and his wife. And he sees a certain authenticity, a quality of life, a simchas achayim. Just, he was very taken by it. And it tremendously bothered him that a person of this caliber has to live in such cramped quarters, even though they were making it work. And he decided to embark upon a campaign to try to help this family get a better apartment. And at that point in time, Israel had some type of initiative to build apartments for large families that were living in cramped quarters, that didn't have apartments. And he tried to get this family a better apartment. But everywhere he went, he kept hitting a brick wall because everyone kept telling him it's only for people that don't own homes. This family already owns. We don't upgrade from a two to a larger, even if you have a large family. It's just not the parameters. And he went to this place and he went to the Ministry of Housing and he tried to get it repealed. For years, he worked on it, and he couldn't get anywhere. And then it got to the period of time where the Israeli government just couldn't keep it together, and they kept dissolving the government and going back to elections. And the committees kept being formed, new committees, new committees, new committees. And after one such downfall of the Israeli political system, there was a newly formed Urban and Housing Committee, and he somehow got into that committee. And he comes there, he had a friend who knew a friend, and he presents his situation. The head of the committee takes one look at him, and he says to him, you're talking about that family in Bnei Brak? They're living in the two-bedroom apartment. He goes, yeah, how do you know about it? He goes, I was one of the journalists who filmed that, you know, episode. I was blown away by them. Of course, I will do everything that I possibly can to make sure this family gets an apartment. That day, this journalist turned politician makes it happen, and the family gets a six-bedroom apartment. And they went to the most incredible upgraded way of living. And shortly thereafter, the government once again fell apart and this fellow became irrelevant. But he was there long enough to bring this family this incredible Yeshua. Kailo turns to the driver and he says, that's my story. I hope it's adequate payment for taking me to Bnei Brak. And this fellow driving says, that's amazing. That's incredible. Thank you so much. I happen to speak a lot in different places. I'm for sure going to use that story. And that's the story that he shared. Really, truly beautiful, my son.
Enjoyed this story? Come again. Bring a friend. StoriesToInspire.org